Thanks. Right, good morning everybody. My dad threw my Bible away. I wanted to thank you for your commitment to sharing the gospel in schools. In 1985, as a young Hindu girl in her first year at school in Stevenage, I heard the gospel for the first time from a man who spoke about the Good Samaritan. I remember singing, "When I Needed a Neighbour, Were You There?" As we piled out of assembly, we were handed a red New Testament, which I treasured and kept in my school bag and read during lunch times, and sometimes by myself in my bedroom at home. One day, a few years later, my dad found my New Testament and threw it away. However, in 1992, I gave my life to Jesus and am now married to a wonderful Christian man with two boys who are also born again and baptized. We all serve together at our church. To this day, I still talk about my New Testament. I am still praying for my dad's salvation. Recently, we went to Sherborne, and inside the Abbey, they had good news for everyone, New Testaments, for people to take freely. I picked one up, although I have now read the whole Bible through. This is just one of the testimonies that are received each week by the team at National Office. So we just wanted to say thank you very much for inviting us to share with you this morning. We do work as a team, so this is a team effort, along with Liz, John and Andrew. Together we are hoping to present to you some of the work that we do. So it's over to Andrew now.
Good morning. I've got an apology for you. Yesterday morning I was having breakfast and I took a bite and suddenly there was a snap and my false teeth broke. And so I rushed off to the dental lab, but it was closed on a Saturday morning. I phoned up a few more, but nobody was open, so I've had to make do with that. So if I stutter a bit or lisp a bit, it'll be because I haven't got my two front teeth.
Right, I'm going to explain a little bit about what we do and how we do it. I'll start off at the beginning. Our story begins, the story of the Gideon movement began in 1899, quite a long time ago, when three American businessmen decided that they wanted to distribute Bibles wherever they traveled, because they were businessmen traveling around, and they wanted to share the good news that the Bible had to give them. So they established this work, which grew and spread throughout the North America. And then 50 years after they started, in 1949, we began to share Bibles in the UK. And I can remember my dad was joined the Gideons. I wasn't sure who it was when he first joined it. I was only a lad. But I knew it was something to do with the Bible. Anyway, that's how it began. And they distributed Bibles in all sorts of places, wherever they could get access, wherever they were invited, into schools, into hospitals, into hotels, and everywhere where they could. In 2020, that's 70 years after that, Gideon's made the decision to become known as Good News for Everyone, and made several significant changes in the association. Most importantly, opening the work for both men and women to join in their own right and on the same basis. We also have a new emblem showing an open Bible rather than a closed jar to better reflect the work we undertake, placing and presenting the precious Word of God. So that's our history. There's three more questions I'm going to answer, which is who we are and what we do. That's two questions, isn't it? But there are one or two more in that. So who are we? Who are the people from Good News for Everyone. I don't know how we call ourselves, Good News is or something. But we are men and women who value the impact of the Bible and the good news that it's in there. And we love Jesus and want others to experience the joy of knowing him. Now we have over 4,000 members of the Good News, spread through 260 branches throughout the UK. And there is no typical member. They are joined from all walks of life, ordinary people and some extraordinary ones as well, but even those without any teeth. Ordinary people who just want to share the good news with others. Our members represent a wide range of denominations and backgrounds. What do we do? Well, we do exactly what the original Gideons did. We simply want to introduce others to Jesus Christ and share his word whenever we can, which was the original vision of those three businessmen in America all those years ago. However, under the name of Good News for Everyone, this core focus is stronger than ever. Together, we seek to place Bibles everywhere that we are invited. Our members also support each other as they endeavour to share the Word of God on a one-to-one basis. As Good News for Everyone, we look for opportunities to do five things. Firstly, to present Bibles and copies of the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. Secondly, to lead assemblies and religious education classes in schools. Thirdly, to share the Word of God personally. Four, pray for and encourage each other. And fifth and last, provide scriptures for distribution around the world. So that's the our history, who we are and what we do. I now have a testimony I'm going to read, another testimony. So I'm going to read an email that has been received. Many churches pray for our work in their local schools. Over 30 million, think of that, 30 million testaments have been placed into the hands of school pupils over the years. And this email I'm going to read is just one story, reproduced as it was sent to us. So here we go. Hi there, you won't know me, but many years ago, well, 14 years ago on the 20th of this month, to be precise, you came to my secondary school. You gave out a red New Testament and Psalms Bible. I've always kept it and always looked after it. Quite a few months ago, I decided to read the Bible every day, using the two-yearly plan in it. It has helped me through many bad times and still does to this day. It's still in great condition, although you can definitely see that it's been read quite a lot. I read it every night and take it away with me whenever we go and wherever we go. We go caravanning, so it's been to quite a few places by now. I know this probably sounds like a silly email, but all I really wanted to say was thanks. Thanks for bringing it to us on that day. I know that quite a lot of the kids in my school didn't keep theirs, but I know a few that did. Please keep up all the hard work you do. Every time I've needed help, I always turned to the Bible. Then one day, a few months ago, I decided enough was enough. I wouldn't turn to it just when times got hard or when I was in trouble. I would read it daily through good and bad times. Well, that's about it, really. Sorry for babbling on a bit. I just wanted to say thank you and urge you never to give up handing out these Bibles. I know in this day and age, it's getting more difficult to reach out to people in fear of offending others. But really, it's up to the individual to decide what they want. What I'm trying to say is, never give up. Thanks once again. Take care. God bless, Jamie. Jamie's story is a beautiful example of the impact of our work. Often, we never know who reads the scriptures we place. However, we believe in the power of God's word and when we follow his calling, nothing is in vain. Thank you very much.
Hello everybody, I'm Liz. Sorry for the delay just now, I wasn't quite ready, was I? Okay, so I'm talking first of all about schools, the opportunities we have in schools. Andrew did mention, a school assembly does provide the opportunity to offer pupils a copy of the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs, and to inspire them to read it and to show them how to use it. I remember a particular time when I went to the grammar school with Jill some time back, before COVID started, and that was a lovely time and the pupils were very receptive. Some schools asked us to take actual religious education lessons, but sadly in our branch area we have found that our access to schools is very difficult since COVID, particularly to secondary schools. We have been able to get into some of the primary schools in one part of the area. We now have a new resource that we can offer primary schools in the form of the Discover magazine. And this attractive, colourful publication is designed to help children to know about the Bible. And it was designed by teachers to help teachers to teach about Christian scripture in RE. And it's designed to fit in with the RE's curriculum and was largely written by RE advisor Lance Blakelock, who is the editor of RE Today magazine and projects officer for the National Association for Teachers of RE. So, in some branches, they have been able to give out testaments to the last year in primary before they go on to secondary, because getting into secondary schools have been extremely difficult, and primary schools seem to be a bit easier. So, there we are. So that's something you can pay for, that that we can have more access into schools. Now we also go into care homes and hospitals. Now this Hope magazine was published just before COVID struck, and we found it to be a very valuable resource for care homes. It's nice, reasonable size print. It contains verses from the Psalms, and then it also has John's Gospel in it. But these have been very popular in the care homes, and along with large print Bibles. So that's what we've also been doing. We've also been into, you'll see on the table, into Hickathers care home, and we did a couple of times small group, in which we talked about what was in the Hope magazine and we discussed and prayed together. So there were good times when we went there. And it's still open for us to go there again sometime. So, we can introduce us to June next back to June.
Continuing with the opportunities that we have, just recently, this
lovely little magazine called Explore has been produced. This contains the whole Gospel of Luke, as well as some explanation of what the Christian faith involves. So it's illustrated as well. It's a very attractive booklet. It's one that can be used by churches in their outreach as well. So it's a good resource for mass distribution. Some of the branches, the Good News branches in the northeast of our country, have got together and organised a project with many of their local churches to distribute a copy of this publication to every home in Newcastle. That's a massive, massive project. They had many answers to prayer, including the provision of a warehouse at the very last minute to store the huge amount that was brought to one place, and from there it was distributed to all the churches who were taking part. And many of these churches are still in the process of distributing. Some of them, it's their project for the summer, so they won't be doing it till the summer, but it really is an inspiration. I think we were kind of thinking of doing something on a little smaller scale. Maybe King's Lynn and Wisbeach, not quite as huge as Newcastle, but a project to pray about and maybe a challenge. The other thing we do is we have badged testaments. We have the New Testaments that we give out, and they can be printed with badges of different armed forces regiments, police, fire and ambulance services, and youth clubs and prisons too. We're also able to partner with Sports Chaplaincy UK to provide sports clubs of all kinds with Bibles for their players and staff, printed with the club's badge on the front. So we have a little item from the magazine. Anyone who's interested in rugby league, the Leeds branch responded to a request from the Leeds Rugby League team for 777 testaments to be badged with the Rhinos logo. Several branch members attended a carol service at Headingley Stadium, where local primary school children sang a couple of songs and the Salvation Army played carols, which everyone joined in. The club chaplain led the service, and after asking the children what superpowers they might like, spoke about Jesus as the light of the world. Former player and coach and committed Christian Jamie Jones Buchanan closed the service. The CEO received a badge New Testament first, followed by the Mayor and Lady Mayor of Leeds. In the coming weeks, more will be given out to players and other members of staff. So that is a great means of reaching sporting clubs and other clubs, with, because people are more likely to accept a testament with that badge, with that connection to the thing that they're interested in. Then we move on to prisons. 5 years ago, we were able to visit Whitemoor Prison to present a Bible to the then governor. We were provided with lunch by the chaplaincy team and then joined in with an inmates Bible study group. It was a truly unforgettable experience. And now we're going to watch a little video called Andy's Story. And I'd just like to apologise for the quality of the end bit. There's a bit of lip syncing not going properly, but please bear with that.
Cell, wondering how I'd got there. They said, "We're arresting you on suspicion of murder." And I'm thinking, this is some sort of joke. I said, "Who am I accused of murdering?" When they told me the name, I just collapsed on the floor. It was my best friend. I couldn't remember anything. I'd been drinking constantly, taking drugs, and I obviously had done it in prison. It was a hell, it was a nightmare. The shame, guilt. I was so frightened. I just knew that sooner or later I'm going to have the courage to kill myself. I just needed the guards to change shifts so they didn't check in the door. And that was been it. I'd been gone. While I was sat there, this quiet voice said to me, just read that Bible. My mind said, what good's that going to do me? This little voice persisted. So I said to myself, all right then, it'll waste a little bit of time. Something compelled me, I just couldn't stop. So I carried on reading the Bible, all the way to Luke and the prodigal son. That was when the real thing started. That was when I knew I'd been forgiven by God. All of a sudden I felt alive, and I was ready to face life. Entire prison turned positive. I used to go to the exercise yard in the morning with that blue testament, saved my life. I had a nickname called the Rev. Lads off the yard, all around, we used to have prayer, small reading, and go about a day. My life, every day, was a day of hope, of opportunity, of peace. And if I had a chance to meet the person who put the Bible in that prison cell, I would let them know that you saved my life. Today my life is unrecognisable from the lost soul that I was in that prison cell who came across the Bible that saved my life. I would either be dead or still in prison, to be quite truthful. And I would ask you to join in with Good News for Everyone in placing Bibles in prisons and other areas so that people like myself and other lost souls have the chance to change their lives. Today my life is full of hope, full of joy and purpose. Thank you.
Two years ago, we had the privilege of meeting Andy over breakfast at our annual Connections convention. And he truly is a very gentle person, isn't he? And we saw him again this year. We didn't speak to him, but he's still going on with God and witnessing to others about what Jesus has done for him. So I'm just going to talk a little bit now about international and other partnerships. A large part of our work involves reaching out into overseas countries. There's a team at the moment working in Eastern Europe, setting up branches in Serbia, North Macedonia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, and most recently the Czech Republic, now known as Czechia. In most of these countries, they have good cooperation with traditional churches and government institutions. At the end of September, a member of staff from our national office was able to join the team to distribute scriptures in various locations. So I'm just going to read a little report. The prayer and vision at the beginning of the week was to fill a van with scriptures and then return the van empty at the end of the week. By the end of the second day, the van was empty, with all the scriptures safely in the hands of people in need of God's word. In May, a very sad incident in Belgrade resulted in the death of 10 individuals after a student opened fire in his school. As a result, no schools are allowed external visitors, prohibiting the team from presenting scriptures in them. However, thanks to prayer, a connection was made with the Orthodox Church in Belgrade. This is a relationship that we had never expected, but with Christian teaching still a mandatory subject on the curriculum, the priests still attend the schools and were delighted to offer scriptures to the pupils. One priest told us that, "I cannot express how thankful we are for these Bibles. Through God's will, this is good news for us, good news for our children, and good news for Serbia. On behalf of our schools, we say thank you." And in North Macedonia, some encouraging new visits were made to two care homes. But that was a good trip. Through a partnership with ShareWord Global, which is the Canadian branch of the Gideons, members of Good News for Everyone are able to participate in GO mission trips to countries such as Chile, Peru and Kenya. The team work alongside people from local churches who act as interpreters. There is a great openness to the gospel in these South American countries. So if you would like to hear more about the trip to Chile last autumn, we are having a coffee morning in King's Lynn, which Liz could tell you more about later. Last year we were raising money to supply much needed and wanted Bibles to Indian believers. This year we are focusing on the Middle East, partnering with an organisation that is helping Muslim background believers. In this country, we partner with the Christian Police Association, Christian Farming Link and Sports Chaplaincy UK, among others. These links all help us to gain access to opportunities that might otherwise be missed.
So, how can I be involved? You can become a friend. Friends are a vital part of our work. Good News for Everyone has been greatly helped and blessed over the many years by friends, men and women who assist the ministry by regular prayer and financial support. A substantial part of a proportion of donations from friends is used to purchase scriptures for needy countries around the world, which Jill has been mentioning, where people cannot afford to purchase their own. Friends also share in our ministry here in the UK by purchasing copies of our friends' testaments and engaging in personal witnessing. They can buy their own testaments to give out. Many thousands of such testaments are presented by friends every year as they play their part in personal witnessing and introducing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, becoming a friend does not commit you in any way to giving donations to our work, but we do ask that you pray, and that's the most important. Praying for reception of God's word, that it will bear fruit in people's lives. As a friend, you will receive a copy of the Good News for Everyone's magazine that you are holding, yeah. And that comes out twice a year, together with a newsletter containing news about our branch, which actually is called Vendenbad. The magazine is always very interesting, packed with news from branches around the country, news from overseas, and lots of testimonies. But if you want to have more commitment or thinking about becoming a member, then, and you think that's what the Lord is laying in your heart to do, then please take one of these red leaflets and take, read, and think about it and contact us if you think you want to go forward with it. As becoming a friend, all you need to do is to sign a form on the table and which covers our GDPR regulations and so just fill in one of those and you can be contacted. Now, there is a coffee and cake get together in King's Lynn at the King's Centre, Wellesley Street, and it's for friends. There'll be friends present and adult maybe, but it's coffee and cake, and we've got speakers Jeff and Jane Mann from Cambridge branch sharing about their mission trip in Chile. And so the time of that is Saturday the 1st of June, 10 to 12. There's some leaflets on the table as well. If you're interested, you're welcome to come. Thank you.
Two weeks ago, Jill and I were at the national convention called Connections. truly marvellous time to hear about what God is doing abroad as well as at home, and we were most concerned to a certain extent to hear how many Muslim believers coming to the Lord Jesus are being persecuted in their own countries, even by their own families. Apparently the Quran says it's right to kill someone who becomes a Christian. And they help them, some of them go to the country of Lebanon, which is a bit easier for them, and they help them there. Perhaps the most impressive part for me was the Bible speaker, a man called Tobias Brown, who had a gangland background in America, had been in prison, and had met God in his prison cell. And says one of the most wonderful times he'd had with God was in his prison cell. And then when he left his prison cell, God called him into full-time Christian service. I just wanted to, a few remarks on about Moses, which comes partly from what he said to us while we were at the convention at Hinckley. The children of Israel were in Egypt, slaves to the Egyptians, and the population of the Israelites was getting out of hand, so they said that all male children should be cast into the River Nile. And of course Moses should have been cast into the River Nile, but his parents prepared a little boat for him and placed him on the water, and big sister Miriam watched over him. And as it so happened, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe with her attendants, and she was so taken with this little child that she decided to call him her son. But in the short term, he was brought up by his mother and then went to the palace in Egypt. Moses, as a grown man, became aware of the sufferings of the people of Israel. He realized he wasn't an Egyptian, although he dressed like one. And saw an Egyptian badly treating an Israelite. And so he killed him, buried him in the sand, and thought he'd got away with it. But he hadn't been, he was seen. The Pharaoh wanted Moses' life. So Moses ran away and went out into the wilderness, where he spent the next 40 years of his life. Chapter 3 of Exodus, it says, "Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses turned aside to look, and he heard a voice coming from the middle of the bush saying, 'Moses, Moses.' Moses said, 'Here I am.'" And then God began to explain to Moses what he was going to do for his people. He said, "I indeed care about you and your people, and I want you to lead the mission to release them from the Egyptian tyranny which they had in their hands." And I was just thinking that I wonder whether you've heard the voice of God as clearly as Moses had. Today is the Pentecost Sunday, and of course for me and for many people, we hear the voice of God through the scriptures and through the preaching of his word, and we do well to follow what we read and what we hear and know that it is the voice of God speaking to us. Moses, of course, didn't want to go. He felt he wasn't suitable, felt he wasn't qualified to take on this great task of leading the people of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. And in chapter 4 of Exodus, it says, then Moses answered and said, what if they will not believe me and will not listen to my voice? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said unto him, what is this in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. I just wanted to challenge us today as to what we've got in our hands. For Moses, of course, it was his staff, and that was the symbol of his job as a shepherd. It's interesting that David talks about both staff and the rod in Psalm 23. There's the two things that a shepherd needs. And the challenge that came for us at the convention, and which I'm really sharing with you now, is what is we've got in our hand. What are we holding on to that God wants to use? God was going to use the staff to perform a miracle of turning it into a serpent. And of course, when he did it in the court of Pharaoh, it also ate the serpents of the Egyptian magicians. Perhaps in your hand you have a job. Perhaps you have money, but you have qualifications. What will God make of them if you lay them down like Moses' staff? Perhaps it is your life in its entirety. Are you prepared to lay it down and say, I want to go the way of God from now on. I accept your forgiveness and the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross to take away my sin. And I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's, perhaps in the next few days, you'll think about what have you got in your hand and whether you can lay it down for God.